This Week in Radio Tech, episode 290, is brought to you by Lavvo and the Crystal Clear Virtual Radio Console. Crystal Clear is the console with a multi-touch touchscreen interface. By the family of Omnia audio processors. Omnia processors are recognized worldwide as the leader in broadcast audio processing. And by Axia Fusion AOIP Mixing Console. Fusion, where design and technology become one. Igor Chaganov has been around high-tech all his life. Much of his childhood was spent living near Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. Now in Riga, Latvia, another technology center, Igor works with radio and TV broadcasters in Eastern Europe, Russia, and other CIS countries, demonstrating best audio engineering practices on behalf of the Telos Alliance.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack, and glad that you're here. And you can see I've got a crowd. I've got a crowd here. We'll jump into the show in just a second. Let's bring in real quick our co-host is here almost every week. It's Chris Tobin, the best-dressed engineer in radio. Hey, Chris, welcome in.
Hello, Kirk. Hello, everyone.
Glad you're here, man. Yeah, we got a crowd.
I know. It's a family affair. Three amigos in Cleveland.
Uh-oh, I see Chris Tobin. I'm going to have to start calling you the Hammer now. Is that it?
Well, this is a new troubleshooting tool. I'm only kidding.
New troubleshooting tool. All right. You want to explain that now or later? Is that your tip of the week for the end of the show?
Yeah, the tip of the week. No, there was a problem with an exit door.
Okay.
And because of the snow and the rain and the coldness, one of the hinges expanded and it just warped. It got totally warped. So we had to sort of smack it really hard to get the door open and replace it.
You had a percussive repair.
Yes. It's just that, you know how some people like to say, just hit it, it'll fix it. So I said, well, why don't we just bring this out. We have a lot of people on the show that can relate to this. Just nice 20-pound metal.
That subject actually came up today here at Telos. That's where I am. I'm at Telos. Tell you what, let me introduce one of our guests right here. He's only here for just a moment because we don't have enough headphones for him. Sergey Sokolov. Hello, Sergey.
Hello.
Be glad you're here, man.
Yes, glad to hear everybody.
Sergey is from St. Petersburg, Russia. And you run a company that does what? Installation, integration?
We're a system integrator, we're a software developer, we're an audio equipment developer, and we've been in business with Telos since 2006.
Yeah. Good deal. Well, I have a friend of yours here on the show. He's our guest for the whole show. Igor, we'll introduce him in just a second. But I'm glad you could join us. Thank you for coming by real
Thank
quick.
Thank you for your invitation.
Yeah. So I've known Sergey for a few years now, and he's always welcome to come by. And I'm sorry I don't have enough headphones for everybody. All right. So our other guest here, come on in here just a second, Igor. This is Igor Chaganov. Close?
Enough.
Why don't you say it?
Anyway, it depends on how many Russians you have here on the behind the screen so that you can get it, actually.
If I was Russian, how would you say it?
You would say like a Chaganov.
Chaganov.
Oh, yeah.
Close?
Enough.
Well, I'm Harnack. Can you say that in Russian?
The problem is most of the front name. Because if Kirk, it will be enough, good enough.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
Kirk,
yeah.
Or Kirk, or all depends on what state I'm coming up from. Or should be, if you come from UK, should get Quark.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I get all different ones. So Igor is here. He's got a really interesting story. This is our War Stories episode. And I was just very delighted that Igor could agree to be on with us because you have a terribly interesting childhood growing up around some space technology, and then somehow, I don't know how, you moved into the broadcast area and got acquainted with broadcast engineering, and your travels are just amazing. So we're going to ask you about your travels throughout Eastern Europe and Russia.
It seems that you're right. Yeah, I was like traveling the whole of my life. So like been moved since I was like a 5 year old. I've been moved to spaceport city of Baikonur, where all the
Spaceport city of Baikonur.
Yes,
come in here a little bit closer. I want to get we got a small camera here, so you actually grew up from 5 years old in the Russian spaceport city.
That's right. So when we come out of the school and see another rocket flying up, up there in the sky and say, oh, that again. Just guess like this. Exactly. Because every other week, we're always flying something.
Because really?
Either satellites, or it could be, launches, something like that. Well, back in the days when it was in Soviet Union and we are in U.S., there is a long, big race of everything that, it gets in touch with rocket science, either right. It's manned or there's a nukes. So, and just today, but yeah, it seems like Russia's still doing that manned, launches, but U.S. not. So.
I get nervous when a Russian guy says nukes.
No, thank goodness I'm not really familiar with this technology itself. Yeah, so, mostly, so we can keep this, topic aside.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's completely fine. So, anyway, I'm trying to keep myself as far as possible from politics and political questions.
Yes, because
especially when you're working in the Eastern countries and you talk to people that have completely opposite opinion about who is and how managing certain country. Mm-hmm. And, your customers is also becoming that they are have their own opinion and they're in service for someone who managed this country. That's also, very, very complicated. And when you say, imagine I'm Russian and understanding the situation in Ukraine, or you go right down to Estonia and you see that, that was like 70 years of Soviet occupation. I can talk a lot about this topic, but actually you better avoid it because you actually can start Third World War. That's better than doing it again.
Well, what's great about being in broadcast and technology is that you can – you're there to talk about the broadcast gear, the audio processing, the telephone systems, whatever it is in audio that you're working with. And so you get to have the excuse of, dude, I'm here to make you sound good. Doesn't matter who's in charge of the country. Let's worry about making the station sound good.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to bring to the customer. So actually, no matter what you are feeding on the air, my idea, my purpose to come in on here to help you sell the best and most cost efficient for your station.
I like this. Hey, no matter what is the propaganda, we're going to make it sound the best.
if there is a propaganda or we got a Taylor Swift latest video, we have to, it should sound better even the TV, who is, basically nobody watching it.
So as technology guys, we do like to talk about the technology, mm-hmm. and we like to do that absent, all the any politics and stuff like that. So that's great. Hey, so Chris Tobin is with us as well. And Chris, if you can think of some questions as we go along for Igor, he's going to give us some ideas of the places he travels, the broadcast facilities that he sees. So we'll do that. I got to jump into our first commercial, though, Vlavo and the Lavo Crystal Clear Console. Lavo's a sponsor of This Week in Radio Tech, and Lavo is famous for their large audio consoles for big television productions and TV trucks and so forth, but they also make a line of smaller audio consoles, and this is the Lavo Crystal Clear Console. Now, you know this as the virtual radio mixing console, and if you go to their website, as you were just seeing there, you can read all about the console. I'll tell you, though, it starts with a touchscreen. The touchscreen is the work surface that you work with. And it's running Windows 8. It's running an application on there. That application takes over the whole screen, and it looks just like an audio console, except it's been designed for easy touchscreen operation. It's a multi-touch touchscreen, so you can have several fingers on it at once, move faders up and down, punch buttons, turn microphones on and off, all that kind of stuff. And the way, because it's a software designed audio console, whenever you do an operation with it, touch an options button, for example, you get contextual menus. You just get the things that you're worried about right then. And that's one of the huge advantages you can get with a console that's been totally designed in software. Now, that touchscreen, that's not where the mixing takes place. The touchscreen simply talks over Ethernet, over your ordinary business network, to the Crystal mixing engine. So this is a one-rack unit box. It's got power supplies in it, redundant if you like. It's got audio inputs for mics, for line level, for AES EBU inputs, and some outputs as well. It's got some contact closures, GPIO, so you can turn on your on-air light, your tally light in the studio. And it also has an Ethernet connection on it. Now, this Ethernet connection supports the Ravenna AOIP standard, and it also supports AES-67. So this means that this console will talk to other AES-67 devices, you know, a couple-year-old standard now that manufacturers starting to really build stuff to, speakers, microphones, all kinds of things, other manufacturers of AOIP systems. So you can make this crystal clear console from Lavo part of your whole studio system. And the other thing that you want to know about is that there's a video on that website. Let's take a look at that website again real quick if we can. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a video you click on with Mike Dosh, and he's explaining the how this console works, what you can do with it, the philosophy of design behind it. So let me encourage you to check out this website, Lavo, LAWO.com. And go check into the Crystal Clear console under Radio Products. And if you just watch that 6-minute video, you'll have a great understanding of what this console is all about. If a touchscreen console sounds like your cup of tea, then check it out. The Lavo Crystal Clear console. Thanks to Lavo for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. All right, we're here with Chris Tobin, who is live in New Jersey. Chris, have I seen this studio before that you're in? Where is this at?
I know. This is a small little control center. It's a couple of Eikoya Digigram IP codecs, Intraplex T1s, broadcast devices, was that AES switcher, and I think that's about it. Yeah. And then there's an audio AES audio switcher for some studios. And then on the other side here is just the server farm of 3 racks of servers for audio automation, commercial playout, all that kind of stuff. And,
so this isn't the studio at all.
Email exchange server, too.
Yeah, so it's just really a rack room, master control sort of area where...
Yeah, it's a TOC or, you know, more in the modern term, the NOC, a NOC. Yeah.
Are you the only guy allowed back in there?
At the moment, yes. During the broadcast, only me.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, a lot of radio stations, rooms like that are locked.
Oh, this is a small operation. It's way in the back. To get here, you'd have to go through 2 different doors. Yeah, if you got back here, you probably had the right to be here, so it's okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Someday you got to give us a tour of that place, you know, kind of a detailed tour, but, you know, how your transmission flow happens, what goes where, and why certain pieces of gear were chosen. You know, like, well, we used to have an STL path, but they built a building in the way, a condo, and now we have to do this and that.
That usually happens with the satellite downlinks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially on the East Coast. Where you're looking seriously to the west, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. AMC 8 for the commercial network bird is about 10 degrees off the horizon. So, you're pretty much looking into a lot of things.
Wow, amazing. All right, so let me turn our attention back to Igor here. So, Igor, I make it clear, Igor works for the same company I do, the Telos Alliance, and you're in our office in Riga, right?
Yes, I'm living in Riga, and I'm working from our R&D office in Riga. So, I see all these people who are making this great consoles, Axia, and the processing and the telephony happen, because there's a significant part of our development happens right there.
That being in Riga, this is a part of the world that a lot of our audience is not really very familiar with. These are what, the Baltic states?
Yes, this is the Baltic states, and this is mostly of the small states that most of the Americans have no idea, and they're outlining this place like a Borat. So, so it's very small, small state up north. It's just a 3 million people, just around, depends on the, you know, work immigration.
So all of Latvia is about the size of a smaller U.S. state, really?
Well, yeah, not exactly, a little bit bigger than D.C., I might say Jersey.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, you can cross the country maybe a couple of hours.
But Riga, there's some reasons, and we've done a show from Riga a long time ago, but Riga, Telos Alliance is in Riga because our founder, Steve Church, moved there. And he moved there because of 2 reasons. Number one, beautiful women. And number two, because there was already a lot of technology in Riga. Can you tell me about the technology in Riga? Why is it there?
Why it so happened there? So because, not just because the openness and comfortable for work in European Union, but also there is a great legacy of the Soviet Union that left with Riga technology and other technologies in Riga University. Well, we will still have great cooperation of that in university, and some of our the biggest specialists are working out there, and some of our gear being developed, tested right within the facilities of the university. So, and the same our professionals doing an education, they actually doing tuitions in the same university. So they are professors in the same.
So for a long time, I understand that Riga was a center for telephony development for Russia. They were doing phone switches, phone company switches, and teaching telephony.
There is two very, very big big factories. I would say there's not really say telephony, but this is making, you know, telephony. I mean, in terms of the telephone, you know, in handsets, is not really. That was two biggest factories that making radios.
Consumer electronics.
Yes,
consumer
electronics. Okay. Exactly, but so this is what everybody says. So, and what this factory makes is all band, middle wave, short wave, everything. Mm-hmm. So turning in using this radio, you can listen to the broadcast from Finland, from BBC, from actually it was pretty much critical for the Soviet Union, but this is. All these factories was one of the sources of getting this great radios that allows any Soviet citizen to get the broadcast of, say, Queen.
I don't know if it's true, but I heard that the reason why it became a place to build radios, before that it was a place that they built speakers. Why did they build speakers there? Because they have so many trees of this kind of wood that make fantastic speaker cabinets. Is this true? There's some kind of pine tree.
Honestly, I don't know. I never heard about this story, but except that actually Latvia still have a very great forests. Yeah. Very clean, great forests and the great lakes. That's exactly maybe true. Karelia and are actually, it's Northern Russian plywood is even used in Mackie speakers here in U.S.
Okay.
So that's what they use. So this is the woods of the ex-Soviet Union is still very popular within pro audio manufacturers. This is what I know.
So we fast forward from the days of Russian occupation of Latvia and the electronics factories there. But now it's still a center for good software development.
Yes. Yeah? Yes. Baltic states, I'm saying most biggest center of the software outsource developer for let's say worldwide IT industry is Estonia, where Skype was born.
Estonia.
A lot of interesting startups are getting jump start there in Baltic states as well. In Latvia, we have something as well.
Gotcha.
So that's definitely it.
So now let's get into the stories part. One thing that I enjoy about reading your Facebook feed is you're always taking pictures from broadcast facilities all over Eastern Europe and the CIS countries and from Russia. And so I got to hear about some of the most interesting places you've been where you meet broadcast engineers, you tour the facilities, you install audio processing and work on this. Can you?
Well, you just from understanding, yeah. Well, sorry, just starting giggling about it, just because during the year I probably visit maybe 50 different facilities.
Yeah,
and its scope of so I have to be like in maybe it covers like 30 countries where I could show up at random, and the facility I see ranging from very high tech visualized radio with the big scope of online broadcasts to something, I'd say this is Soviet-made army state antenna.
Yeah.
Same military state back from the very old Russian Soviet days, transmitters, analog pro audio mixer desks, and the cheap, you know, Staples headphones, same America. So that was so completely different stations. And That's really interesting.
Oh, wait a minute. This brings something to mind. I got to ask Chris about this. Chris, do you remember for years and years the G. Gordon Liddy radio show?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember
that
show?
On it.
And do you remember how G. Gordon Liddy would always complain about this darned East Russian, East German broadcast equipment that they had to deal with?
Yes.
Of course, it wasn't East German broadcast equipment, but he was always putting down the gear, right?
Yes, anything on the Eastern Bloc, basically, is what he went after.
Well, and he was just complaining. I mean, if he didn't know how to press the right button, it was the East German's fault, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know how some folks with anything technological will make some remark, some negative remark about it, and they find if they're, you know, a lot of folks from an ethnic background, you know, from the old neighborhood, people would call it some, it's a Polish box, or it's an Italian box, or it's some idiot with a beer can from Ireland, you know, that's how it works. And G. Gordon Liddy did the same thing. His particular preference, for whatever reason, was Russian. That's what he did, but that's what it's about. It hasn't changed.
As we were getting ready to do the show, Igor was telling me about some radio stations, some broadcast facilities that are heavily guarded, and it's a little difficult to get in to do some work. Why don't you tell us a crazy story about this?
Yeah, well, one of the crazy stories is actually when you go to very state-regulated facility, especially in the capitals like Moscow and so on, when the complicated thing about it, if you say you have to adjust the processing or you have to upgrade your processor.
Right.
So you can do only on quarterly basis. So
what?
Quarterly basis.
You mean every 3 months?
Every 3 months, yes. Every 3 months, you'll have a window starting 1 a.m., ending 6 a.m. So it means in 6 a.m., you have back on air, no matter it takes. And if you not succeed, you either off air. But actually, it should not happen because of the owner of the station. It just should not happen.
Yeah,
so you can end up not processed, for instance, entirely, or you actually have to be done it.
Now, do these sites? Now, you were telling me about how difficult they inspect you. You said you can only take in a screwdriver, and your cell phone, and maybe a remote Wi-Fi point.
That's it. Yes. So when Chris said, I have to pass a couple of doors. Yeah. Well, I have to pass some couple of TSA level checkups when you have to spread up everything through your pocket on the floor, or you're going to be scanned, and they actually searching you. Very close to things, good. Sometimes it's all it is. carry machine guns.
Wait, these guards have machine guns?
Yeah, well, small machine guns. Yeah, I mean, Uzi style, something like that. So not really. It feels not really comfortable. And, you know, when you're all stuff, basically every engineer carry a small lab in his backpack or in his bag,
right,
you know.
Right.
And you understand, because if there's something missing, specific screwdriver, and then that very night, you'll not succeed. That's simple. So, and when you go to this facility, that means you have very precisely choose what tool you carry.
Yeah.
You have to carry your phone. You have to carry your laptop. You have to carry your charger for a laptop. You have to carry your access point because nobody there will give you access to the internet.
Well, I was going
to
ask, these transmitter sites, you don't have remote access to them over
internet? You know, sometimes it requires to adjust a little resistor on the transmitter, which is not.
It's not IP addressable.
You cannot address every resistor and stuff like that. So and sometimes you're just working with the quite old equipment, which is old but not obsolete. It goes like just like this. So in this case, it should be very very precisely, and you have like only 4 hours to succeed and make you say customer satisfied about it. And for me, it was cases when I will not succeed and wait for 3 months, coming over again, and start from scratch and eventually succeed.
Now, Chris Tobin, you've worked at some sites that are high security in New York City. I mean, look where I live in Nashville. Nothing's really that high security, right? I mean, you may have to get a key from the building maintenance guys, but you have anything like this in New York where you have to suffer this kind of security or go through it?
Well, there are a couple of buildings that house broadcast facilities, transmitter facilities, that do have the requirement of opening your bags, passing through a metal detector, passing your bags and equipment through the X-ray machines on a conveyor belt. There have been a few times when security gets randomly turned up higher, and you wind up waiting while they go through your bag, and then a second person will see the bag after it passes through the X-ray machine. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then there was a site that I used to work with, a company in Washington, D.C., and it was always fun to go to that site. I couldn't take a picture of the fence signage, but the signs would, as you entered the property, the first sign would say, "Stop, state your business," and you'd speak into a small panel with a gentleman on the other side of the glass and explain why you're there. After he acknowledged that you're legitimate and your name is on this special list that you don't see, but it's there, you walk through that door, that gate, and then the second set of signs simply say, the use of deadly force is permitted. All packages will be inspected. And
it's normal for him. use of deadly force.
You have to apply for the same. I didn't mention they have to apply it 2 weeks ahead for permission
to
the site.
Right. And the other thing I was going to say is, for me, even to get through some of these sites, I had to apply for security clearance. It was about 2 to 3 weeks earlier. And I traveled once in Cuba and had a chance to stop at a Cuban radio station in Havana. And very similar to what Igor is talking about, I did not have security clearance, but they were enamored with the fact that the Americans were here for a broadcast for the Pope's visit. This was back in 1996, 1997. So they were more than happy to show us around with a gentleman who had a nice sidearm as well as a over-the-shoulder firearm, and were more than happy to walk us around. it's not common practice. For me.
So, if you have such restricted access to these sites, what happens if a transmitter fails? Does it have backup, or do you have to try to real quick get permission to go back in?
Well, most of the broadcasters basically have the backup transmitter. So probably they understand because of the complication of the getting in and out, and there is a technicians on the site, but these technicians may not own this equipment, have no permission to touch this equipment, for certain reasons. And so backup transmitters possibly exist, but processing? Not usual. So sometimes sometimes it happens in different transmission site at all. So that acts like a backup. But I know a lot of cases when there is backup processor is not exist, just a transmitter. So and in this case, getting off the air, well, smaller cities, as far as you can see, you can spot station off the air sometimes, even in capitals. For like a hour or two, okay, that makes owner completely mad. But what are you gonna do if you say your processor got down and this is the only choice is to bring someone from who is now on vacation and you have to say drive like a couple of hours back.
So you're I noticed that when you came to the U.S. on this trip, you visited some television station here in Cleveland or where?
I didn't visit any television station yet in the U.S. So.
Oh, okay. I thought you said some. I'm sorry. I thought I saw some pictures from.
That's because of the Cleveland TV stations that I find myself.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's interesting to make a picture of front of that.
So what do you if I went to a television station in Russia, what am I going to see there that's different than what I'm used to?
Well, it depends on who owns the station, how much they invest. So you can see, a full HD studio, or you can see complete analog facility, which looks really strange to you. It goes back to where when Radio Shack was on top of their business. So something like that. So it will be completely. That's why it's very interesting because you see things as. Actually, Chris say, "Oh, it comes from Hungary. I see some equipment from Hungary, from East Germany. I see something from Poland. Anyway, yeah, it's working. I can remember myself in the main facility in Kyrgyzstan a year ago, and that was it was really fun. Yeah, they have Omnia processor. They have old consoles, but they are regular. If they are well cared, they're working for 30 years. That's fine. But what was most impressive." Is a switchboard because when they need to do network broadcasting, it's in small country, but anyway, they do broadcasting for several cities. And it was fun because it was a huge switchboard that for you looks like something come from 30s, and two ladies on a shift in their 50s, supposed to drink tea in front of this and switch the cables like they did.
To switch programs.
and switch programs and switch routings. This is what the lady router.
Wow.
So this is
the lady router.
And this is still working. And and I checked how old is it. So this switchboard was made back in 82.
1982.
Yeah, so 1982. So and that's working. So it's twice older than the consoles of Soundcraft and this facility and 30 people watching all of this. And it was really impressive to explain it to these guys how audio over IP technology, for instance, works.
Oh, yeah.
Because, looking at that, and we're doing presentation and explaining how it works and understanding, and then understanding on the station manager's eyes, we see this understanding. And I look on all these 30 engineers, understand, get to be laid off in favor of just two guys who will be, IT administrators who, what do you need? Just yeah. monitor one router and one Pathfinder server.
That's kind of yeah. sad. I was kind of liking the lady router. That was interesting.
Oh, yeah. That was, if you looking over my Facebook, you can see these pictures probably down the line. Probably 60 stations down the line. You know, probably you'll wow. find it. So that's sometimes. But anyway, this, for instance, say in Moscow, there is Euro Plus stations, super high technology, visual, HD all over the place, audio over IP all over the place, processing in the server room three floors up, seven studios all diverse through the building, and everything is connected. And who is managing this? Four guys on two shifts.
Wow.
That's it. So that's impressive. And well, probably this is the only way to move forward.
Probably is.
Well, we understand. The economy situation in these countries is not really good. So that's why they're so slow in the development. But I know I understand that the generations are actually growing up. They're getting more interest. And also, the emerging of streaming. And actually, when they see somebody who young being introduced from the beginning to the new technologies and how it works, there is no need to do much explanations.
True, yeah, with new people coming in. Say, you're watching, I want to remind you, you're watching This Week in Radio Tech. It's our episode number 290. Kind of a War Stories episode. We have Igor Chuganov. Close enough. From Riga, Latvia. Grew up in Moscow and also grew up in, what's the name of that town? The space?
Baikonur.
Okay.
Have you seen Rocket XM radio satellites, maybe?
well, frankly, I didn't
they
see any.
They launched from Baikonur.
Oh, really?
Well,
so
yes. All XM satellites radio.
XM satellites, XM radio, were launched
from Baikonur.
From your backyard at your house, right?
We may say somewhat like this.
Across the yard over the fence.
Well, yeah, mostly when you see, come out, it's not a bunch of satellites being launched. But yeah, I was moved out that days because, XM is something being launched in 2000s.
We have to take a quick break here. After our break, I want to come back and ask, if you live in this space city, if you report a UFO in the sky, are you considered really crazy? We have UFOs every day.
Well, that sounds like, yeah, so we just say, that again, you should definitely quit drinking.
Our show is brought to you in part by the folks at Omnia and the Omnia 9 audio processor. And the whole family, there's the whole family of audio processors from Omnia. Igor, I shouldn't let you off the hook. You should come in here, Igor, and let's look at that picture again. You're very familiar with these Omnia processors, right?
Somewhat, I guess, yeah.
The Omnia 9, the 11, the Omnia 7, the Omnia 1, and
the Voco.
Oh, and the Voco, yeah, the Voco 8 with 8 mic processors in one box. It's a pretty amazing box. So which Omnia processor have you been installing a lot of lately?
The most processor I loved, I think it's actually Voco. So
Voco?
Because of the extremely flexibility of this processor. I also love Omnia 7.
Let's talk about the Voco.
Yeah.
I did a video about the Voco 8, and I got to play with one for a couple of weeks at my house.
I believe I translated.
You did translate into Russian. That's
yes.
Right.
So, that's because, the way and how it's done and the flexibility of this processor and the way you can use it across the facility is, to me, really incredible.
I should point out, the Voco 8 is a single box that has 8 instrumentation quality mic preamps in it, and you can purchase any number of channels of mic processing in it. The mic processing, the outputs can be coming back to you over analog or AES, but also over live wire. So you have live wire in and out, AES in and out, analog in and out. So if you want to use it as your mic pre, great. If you want to use it as a processor on your network, great too. And then you can combine groups of mic processing into studios, so that you can do some interesting functions, like the main guy talking can talk down the other guys.
Yeah, and the very interesting part, the main guy talking, he would not be advanced in the technology because he can brought just the basic controls in terms of recalling presets in the session. And that's what he just imagine just a lady who preferred carry a dog. And the keys from Range Rover, we understand she's not very familiar with technology. We better not allow her to adjust, say, attack or release in certain band of that certain channel.
Right.
So what she needs is just tap on the screen, her name, and she's set.
And she said, "That's her mic processing."
And you understand that you have probably 50 DJs working across the facility and they're rotating, or you're doing funky show because you want to connect to this radio studio, or you actually want to bring a TV person from the TV studio, and audio over IP allows you to do this across the facility, say they are 100 feet above, or away. And so that's one of the magic, and you can bring the easy views for the same guy in that studio, and it will be going through the same box. That's the magic, I think.
Yeah. We think of mic processors as kind of one-at-a-time boxes that we put into a studio. So if you're – let's say my name is Kirk, and I'm at my studio, and I usually work in this studio A, but now I'm going to go work in studio B. Well, the mic processing is not going to be correct there. But with a Voco 8, it is going to be correct. It's going to be my mic processing in any studio that I want to be in. Yes?
Yeah, because you actually can see and control these processors from anywhere.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where this processor, and especially actually when you're grouping these microphones inputs, a separate engineer could control it.
Mm-hmm.
Separate DJs can use it. That's the also interesting feature.
So, hey, I want to let our engineers back at the ranch know that my video coming back here is frozen. I don't know if we need to reconnect or not, or if it's really okay. If it's okay, then I won't worry about it. Can anybody give me a word as to whether our video is good to you? Suncast?
It's frozen to me also.
Oh, it's frozen to you also. Toggle my video on and off. Okay, I'll be happy to do that.
Here's that I'm now on camera. Hello.
Ah, yes, you are. And while you're on camera, I'm going to turn my...
Well, we just lost... Well, how about that? Well, welcome to This Week in Radio Tech. And by the way, this is a crazy episode. We've got all kinds of things going on and people from different parts of the world talking about how things happen around the world that actually impact you here in the States or North America. And now we have video that's moving again. It's a good thing when video moves. It's a bad thing when audio does, but it's a good thing when moves.
Well, about when video freezes, the bit rate is lower.
This is true.
Yeah. So it's
all about the bits. Bit buckets. It sounds like low bit rate radio.
So we were just finishing up talking about the Voco 8 because our show is brought to you in part by Omnia, and I'm glad to hear that you're excited about this box. So typically, whether you have one studio or 10 studios, you can put one or more Voco 8s to use. It's like a networked mic processor that has your settings, Mr. Talent, for whatever room you want to be in, and other features too, like being able to talk over the other talent.
Just the amount of adjustments that processor have and allowing the engineer under his login and password to get into the settings, you can create the sound for any talent, or this is a DJ who always there, or this is the guest, or this is, and you can create either this is a kid coming, or this is an old guy, or this is a lady, or this is a, anyone could have its own voice.
Yeah.
And for this certain studio, in this four, say, microphones, you will have your own wall within this one box, and the other part of this box will be another wall.
In playing, I want to mention one technical feature about the Voco 8. I noticed that, doesn't it have multi-band expansion, downward expansion? Because most mic processors have just one band downward expansion to quiet the room.
Essentially like it for three bands.
Three or four bands of downward expansion. Bands, right, so you can tailor the behavior of the multi-band expansion to match the acoustics or the noise level in the room.
That's right.
If you've got some rumbling going on, you could be more aggressive with the bass expansion to get rid of that rumbling noise when nobody's talking. And so whatever a room, whatever problems that a room has, you can really tailor this. And I've always thought that expansion is a pretty important function of a mic processor. And when you get to deal with multi-band expansion, the possibilities are pretty good.
I think it's also interesting to mention one thing that then very, very interesting function that then you working with several microphones, you can always make one microphone dominating on each other.
Yes.
So if you just, for instance, when you look on other products in the industry, it mostly say it's a two-channel processor. Okay, they can have remote control, have presets. It can have a lot of settings inside. You have multi-band processing. But imagine if you have four microphones in the studio and you have a rock band in the studio. It is even worse scenario. You have Italian politics in the studio.
Italian politics.
And you start discussing latest European tax laws. Now
Now you need dominated.
Now you need domination, and you can set a certain microphone. It's for the host to be a 2 dB louder of each other, and you always be 2 dB louder than all these Italian politics.
Yeah.
And I think it's not possible to manage all these, you know, two preamps or from other brands, which has say two inputs, remote control, but there is no way to manage all these four microphones. That's on the separate units. In OmniaVoca, you can do this.
I think we can do a whole show about OmniaVoca. Check it out at the Omnia Audio website, or the TELUSalliance.com website. There it is, the OmniaVoca 8. Starts out at two processors, and you can get up to eight processors into it. It's a cool box. You can front panel control most everything, but you can also use the web GUI to get right. You can use the software from Voca 8.
Software, but I'm open a little curtain about Voca.
Yeah.
It uses and it has open source control language.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's 160 pages of the control language that you actually can build even your own remote control. You can integrate within your automation system. You can integrate. There is a way to integrate with the Axia console. And actually, we're developing this way with the Axia console so you can control the Voca with the, you know, touch of the button.
Yeah.
You can control the Voca, but you can use it within your facility, just employing your own programmers and coders. And you can easily create, say, remote control, what you want.
Wow. All right. Thanks,
Well, how about that? And that's a showstopper right there. We come out of a commercial and a sponsor break to tell you that's how things are. Left you hanging with some information you now go and pursue. 160 pages of code. Might be interesting to try it out. But then again, this week in Radio Tech, episode 290, War Stories, is continuing on, and Kirk and the gang in Cleveland, Ohio, are having a good time, and apparently we're not being made part of the party, so we'll just have to do it ourselves. And, you know, we're talking about war stories, so let me tell you one that I had a while back. And
the person
it's for those
you're trying to reach is currently...
Oh, look at that. Skype talking to us again. Anyway, war stories. So for those of you sitting back and wondering, what's it like to do a broadcast at a resort in Barrie, Ontario, Canada? Let me tell you, two things. One, Central Canada Broadcast Engineers Convention in September. Check it out. Those of us here on the East Coast of the United States, you definitely give it a try. It's good people, great fun, and there's always Screech available. For those of you who know what that is, you know what I'm saying. That's all I'm going to tell you. All the others, everyone else, you'll have to look it up yourself. But in the meantime, up there, one season, one show, we did a video test, and it was two parts of the test. It was to use a mobile handheld video DVB transmission from a truck high atop of a hill. It's a ski resort and many other things. There's zip lines and stuff, so it's not just for the broadcast group. And there's also a pub and a few other things. So we did a 5.8 gig connection from down at the resort building up the hill to the truck to do this whole wonderful thing, and using 5.8 was fun, and it was all IP. And this is what we're talking about previously with the sponsorship. Hey, the three amigos are back. But anyway, we're talking about IP and the availability of what you can do with it. You can do video, you can do audio, and by the way, don't forget the Axia product line and all that stuff. There's that SDI box that does SDI connectivity, does IP audios. You can integrate into your video. For those of you who say, it's only audio only, I don't need to hear this, so hear what's going on. Just food for thought. So let's go back to the folks in Cleveland, Ohio, and find out how things are doing in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh, I'm sorry. No,
we were trying to figure out what one more war story that Igor could bring you. And Sergey back here, he's out of the light. Sergey says Kazakhstan. And then he said, oh, no, wait a minute. There weren't too many survivors from that story. So is this a story you can tell, or you better maybe pick a different story?
No, it's just, it's not really very professional about setting up, but there's one, it should be very short, but you want to understand one thing, that if you are going to visit stations and you are, say, done things, or and you have become so, the owner's very friendly to you, and they know, wow, okay, it's very cool to hear you guys, and we love what you're doing and everything. Okay, can you come over on Friday night? the thing is, and that's actually basically a rule within professional audio and broadcast industry, if somebody invites you Friday night, in a studio, you probably will not survive.
so what happens on Friday night in the studio?
Basically, there is enormous amount of alcohol and
that begins. I see.
Yeah. So and especially if you visit and say dance radio, because you can have all kinds of Amsterdam stuff like that. We can get girls, and it's something that could be maybe even considered a federal felony in the U.S. So we're not mentioned this exactly. Anyway, it's one of that's the rule is always it should be keep in mind, because getting on the night, Friday night in the studio, you better have someone who drive you back home.
So what countries is this tradition in? Was this in Kazakhstan or
Country where it was born is Soviet Union.
Okay.
So actually, all the 15 countries will probably fall in the same in the same situation. When you should be very careful about such offers when the grateful owner wants to please you and stuff like that.
Gotcha. All right, Chris. It seems like that's what FM radio used to be in the U.S. Maybe in the wild 70s and 80s, especially with regard to record promoters and program directors.
It's still like that in some places. I can say I've heard of a few good stories. So let me see if I have this right. Is it Tanets Dvazhusky? Is that right? Did you say it? Dance girls? No? I try my best.
In Russian, he's trying to say dance girls in Russian.
I'm not sure if I have that.
That's quite.
We're talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. I try my hand at it, so I fail. That's quite all right. But no, there is still stations. I mean, I could tell you. Let me see. What was it? About 6 months ago, I got a story from somebody. I had a good time at a Saturday night dance event at a radio station. So it's still going strong. It's maybe not as prevalent, or people talk about it.
See, I'm the kind of engineer. I missed all these parties. I was such a nerdy geek that they knew that. Kirk's just going to bring the party down. He's just going to deflate it a little bit. So I missed out on these. But, some people get invited to these Friday and Saturday night soirees where you better have a driver to take you home.
Yeah, especially. Yeah.
Is everybody expected to be back at work on Saturday or Monday?
What? No, actually people coming on work on Monday, that's definitely.
So I do have a serious question, maybe the last question before we close out the show, and that is, what do you? You're an expert in audio processing. You're setting up a lot of processing for radio and maybe for some TV stations. What do you have? Any people giving you some crazy request about their audio processing? How they want it to sound compared to other stations? Or
always a crazy requests when we ask to one processor, especially made by Omnia House, to sound how the sounds the other brands. This is we want this. Sound like this box, and we're not supposed to, but we have to.
so they want their new processor to sound like their old processor,
or the old processor, or their bad sounding processor, or actually they're supposed to replace it, replace bad processor with a new and much better processing. Right. But we want it to sound old.
Now, so when they say an old sound, can you describe what they want? They want some pumping and sucking sort of sound?
Pumping and sucking sort of sound is very popular, especially in South countries of, ex-USSR, when you pump it up. It's, I didn't need to explain you why, especially in terms of San Francisco. So for instance, it distorted, I might say.
Really? So they're looking
they
for,
want,
wow.
They want, yeah, it's not just the bass. They want some certain amount of distortion harmonics coming to, their acoustic systems, so that the speaker, or this is a car of the owner, it could be actually cost like $70,000. He wants it just like this, and it's what hardest part is understand that this kind of sound is not comfortable for the listener.
Right.
It's just what you want. Take your phone, EQ it as you want, but you have to be neutral. You have to bring that what the idea of the mastering engineer. Creating this content.
Do you find that there's a country or a city where they're actually concerned with really, really good sound? Maybe loud, but very pure and very listenable? What's your favorite market to go to? Because these guys get it.
Because of difference of the content, difference of the orders, of the owner's opinion about it, it's always it's different, and because of the loudness war, which still exists in these countries, and you want to try and, you know, calm down, but the owners say, no, it doesn't have, should sound clear, it should sound that loud, and who cares? So,
are you guys hearing us? No, I'm not hearing Chris at all. So are we just talking here and nobody's hearing it? I don't hear Chris. I need a. Oh, you got a thumbs up? Okay.
You don't hear me?
I'm not hearing. It says Kirk, you're losing bandwidth again. Oh well.
Oh yeah.
Oh, what's up with that? I'm not hearing a word, Chris. Tell you what, Chris, you see, well, but I'm not hearing Chris. So does Chris have good audio?
No.
Chris has good audio, but I hear nothing coming back. Chris, I have a job for you, young man. Since we seem to have trouble here, how about, Chris, if you will talk for a moment about the Axia Fusion console and then give us your tip of the week? And during all that, we'll try to either try to reconnect, or we'll just enjoy you doing it. I want to, since you can hear me and I can't hear you, I want to thank Igor Chaganov for being here, and also Sergei Sokolov. Sergei's from St. Petersburg,
right?
Yeah? And Igor is living in Riga, Latvia, although raised up in Moscow and in
Baikonur.
Yeah, with rockets in the backyard.
Yes.
That's what that means in Russian, rockets in the backyard, right?
Well, somewhat. Well, you can store it or use it, you know.
This episode of This Week in Radio Tech is also brought to you by the folks at Axia and the Axia Fusion. Chris Tobin, take it away. Thanks a lot, everybody, and Chris Tobin will talk you out.
All right, fair enough then. This Week in Radio Tech, episode 290, War Stories. Now we're going to talk about something everybody should be aware of, audio over IP. AES-67. Oh, and the console that brings it all together, or for those of you who may prefer to call it a desk, Fusion console. All right, so the Fusion desk console comes to you from Axia, the Tele Alliance, and it's a very interesting box. Very interesting mixing console. Its surfaces are designed in such a way that they don't wear out. So the imaging, the silk screening, all that stuff stays intact. So you can have a real heavy-duty use and be fine. But with audio IP and the Axia system of live wire protocol, you have the ability to distribute your audio across the plant. So back in the day when everything was sort of combined in one place, hub-and-spoke approach, now with IP audio, you can move it all around. And the Fusion console gives you the ability to do it very easily in a streamlined fashion. You have your usual multiple buses. You have your mix-minus returns. You have the ability to talk back. And it's all at the touch of a button after you've programmed it through the Axia Live Wire protocol. And you also have the ability to select phone calls from the built-in phone caller panel. Now, if you look at the website, you know, it's a real simple, straightforward thing to do. That's the best way to go about it. TELUSALLIANCE.com, Axia Fusion. You'll find out that the console is designed in such a way that, well, we could do two consoles. We can break up the number of faders we have. Maybe we have a morning show that has two hosts, and one host does one special thing, and the other host does another special thing, and it'd be convenient for them to have their own work surfaces. You can do that with the Fusion console. You can have two separate pieces, and they still all can mix together with one Cat 5 wire and get you what you need done. Let's really think about it. It's all about the imagination. What do you want to do? How do you want to do it? And what's the best way to approach it? Well, the Telos Alliance gives you that ability. Live wire protocol and the Fusion AOIP mixing console. That's the best thing to think about, and that's what you have to remember. These are simple things. It's so simple, even though you may look at the picture of it and go, oh, there's all those buttons and faders and there's knobs, and I'm not sure of these symbols. Well, the symbols are real straightforward. There's one for a speaker, for cue. There's one for the microphone for talk back. That's pretty straightforward to me. And then there's the two buttons that go on, off. On is a reddish-purple color, a red color. Off is more of an amber-yellow color, very traditional. So what's left? Oh, right. What do they do? At the very top of the fader, you have a knob. Then you can select through the sources. You can take it and have it. Or maybe you want to just change the entire console or reset for a different purpose of the room. Maybe it's not an air studio. Maybe it's a production studio. So you change the selector knob, change the profile, hit the button, boom. So in three steps easy, you now have yourself a completely reconfigured room, all in the magic of audio over IP. So remember, the Fusion console or the Fusion AOIP mixing console is really the brains to what you want to do, and the imagination is what drives it, and that's what you need to remember. So you want all the details and special, you know, the specifications, the in-depth stuff, go to the website. It's better. You can sit back, have an adult beverage, and read about it, learn more, and then you make a phone call to your favorite distributor and find out more about how you too can participate in the future. TELUSALLIANCE.com, Axia Fusion. Check it out. It's really fun. So I'll give you the list of features because, you know, I know a few people are just sitting there going, well, what can I do? I need to know more. I need to know more. From 4 to 40 faders, okay, if you need that, with each with instant unlimited access to any source. Assign any type of source to any channel. How crazy is that? Any of you that remember the old Ward Beck or McCurdy, PR&E analog consoles? How many times do you want to assign any type of source to any channel? What did that mean? Oh, yeah. 66 block, Molex connector. Oh, yeah, that was a mess. And then it was that connector. I could never find them. Oh, yeah. So there you go. That's the first solution, right? You move to the future. High-resolution OLED displays. Now, you remember, the smaller the display, the more resolution you can get out of it. They are unbelievable. Really sharp. For those of us with the eyes that are not as good, excellent. For those of us that have great eyes, even better. So check it out. Displays above each fader strip display, selected source, everything. OLED, full-time confidence metering, talkback status. Well, that'd be good for those of us with, you know, in-laws. And then there's the pan fade information and more. All on the fader. You can't go wrong. So, you know, these are just a few of the things. Exclusive expert mode allows construction of customized mix minus. Again, these are features. I'm reading it right off the script, so there's no mistaking what I'm talking about here. It's really true. The Fusion AOIP mixing console is powerful. Only your imagination holds you back. Well, by the way, it has four main stereo outputs. That's typical. I know, program 1 through 4. It's really easy to remember. All right, fine. Detailed widescreen operated display. Why? Why not? Full-time monitor confidence meters, even VU ballistics, BBC, and DIN-type PPM. Hey, what the heck? Oh, by the way, you can do the Nordic and EBO display options as well. Speaking of Nordic, I think our guest had a jacket that had looked like the Norwegian flag on it, but I could be mistaken. Anyway, flexible, intuitive talkback system lets board operators, talk show hosts, and those of us who are just learning how to do things to just get the job done. External feeds come in, any source, associated back feeds, all the wonderful things you like to do. And for those of you who really like the fun, software control of options, EQ, everything. I hear people.
Chris, you know more about this console than I do.
What's there to know? It's real simple. I've been telling people this for years. I don't know why people think it's so difficult. The part is you don't have an imagination. Of course it's difficult. You know what? You know what you need? This is what you need. Little incentive. Come down the hallway with this, and you'll see how fast people start to realize, you know what, maybe I should read the book. It's real easy. So listen, it's the Fusion Audio over IP mixing console. It's really cool stuff. And those of us who have used the product in the past, I can tell you that it's well worth it. It's an investment that will grow and evolve, or I'll say the phrase, future-proofing your facility. How about that?
Thanks to Axia and the Fusion for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. We got two tips. Chris may have a tip for you. I don't know. But I've got a tip. I've got a bunch of tips for you. Here's one of them. What is that? That is amazing. Well, here I'll show you another tip. Right there. Let me get it in the light a little bit better. Okay. Can you see that? What would that do? Now, there's one end of it right there, but that's the business end of it right there. All right. Now, there are people in the audience that I know, I know what he's got. I have never in my life seen I knew these existed, but I've never, ever played with one before. Now, here's one that may make it a bit more
surface
obvious.
Surface mount technologies?
Yes. Now I'm gonna show you here. Let me grab the camera, and let me point the camera over here. They go on this soldering device right here. Let me bring the exposure up just a bit here on the camera and show you. There you go. This is at a soldering workstation here at the Telus Alliance. And, you know, any company that does a lot of electronics has this kind of stuff. We have the whole box of tips right there and big gallons of isopropyl alcohol. I'm not sure how that's related. But this is a PACE soldering and desoldering station. There's the control head for it. And look what's just down the hall from me, a microscope soldering station, microscopic inspection and soldering. I'm telling you, this is like a playland here. Check out, here's a parts bin of stuff that they use pretty frequently. Super glue, heat shrink, glue stick, plastic sticks, plastic picks, scope parts, just hot air station supplies. New style paste tips, filter. I'm at a cool place here. I could work here. So wow. there's my tip of the week right there. There's your tip.
Well, here are my tips.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's almost the same. Isn't that one for a heat shrink tubing?
It's heat shrink tubing, yeah. It relies on heat, directing it through a little funnel. I just thought I'd throw that out there for fun, so I, too, can have some fun in play. But one of my tips was talking about soldering. I just thought I'd try something old school for some folks. And rather than do the sponge on your soldering station, there's the metal material that you can use for cleaning. Just like so. So let's see if I got that right. Yeah, there we go.
I've seen that stuff. Does it work better than sponge? It works really well.
Yes. Unfortunately, the tip is too small to see, but you can see it's pretty clean. But it works great. I use it all the time. I was using it today making some XLR cables. It was very nice. And then there's always the solder socket or pullet, depending on which brand you get. You know,
yeah,
I don't know if you can hear it.
Oh, yeah. That's a familiar sound. Thing. You know, back in the day when I was replacing all the electrolytic caps in ITC cart machines. I'd hear that sound a lot.
Yes. And then this one last piece I had was just recently a friend of mine was trying to troubleshoot some issues with his audio studio and had a pair of headphones. He's like, how do I do it? And I was like, well, you can make this little cable. Here's a headphone jack. And then you take alligator clips and off you go. It's real simple. And I know it seems odd. People are like, what are you kidding me? Who wears headphones and test audio analog anymore? There's a lot of folks still doing that. There's a lot of netcasters that do that stuff. So it's good to know these little tricks. Some may say it's old school. Others may say, wow, it's the first time I've ever seen it. So there you have it. Well, then again, it's also the same thing as like a Fusion console. It's the first time I ever saw something like that. What does it do?
Chris, there's one tool that is really new on the market and cheap, new and cheap both. And I want to get it. I get these advertisements from GearBest or one of these Chinese suppliers. It's for an endoscopic camera that plugs into the USB port on your Android phone.
Wow!
And so it comes with some length of cable. The camera is a little bitty, like the about the size of a TV lavalier microphone, little bitty thing.
Nice.
And I guess if you were a doctor, you'd be using this to check down somebody's throat. But what if you could use it to check out the far reaches of a transmitter, I want to look inside that PC power supply to see how dusty it is inside without having to take it apart. I don't know. I think it might be an interesting tool to have.
Yeah,
and they're like $40 bucks now or something like this.
Yeah, it's definitely. I'm going to look into that. I like that idea because there's a few things I would have loved to have looked inside in a couple of racks and some equipment. It would have been fun. Yeah, definitely.
Use it to look down between the that place in the car between the center console and the seat where the French fries go?
Oh, that's scary down there.
and
that's where the crazy things are.
Money? Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes you drop a credit card down there. I got to go down there now and get that. Anyway, we'll see if we can feature that on a future upcoming episode.
Yeah,
Chris. Thanks for playing along with us there in New Jersey. Appreciate you staying late at work and joining us.
No problem. It was good. It was good to tell people what's going on and listen to some good stories.
Igor and Sergey went off to sample a local brewery, and so that's where they went. And we're done.
It's only Thursday.
It is only Thursday.
Let's do the time change. No, you know what? It would be Friday, so they're good.
It's Friday there. Yeah, that's right. Midday, mid-morning Friday. So.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, well. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, the Lavo, and also the Omnia Voco 8, a surprise pop-up sponsor, and the Axia Fusion console. You'll find links to these sponsors and some of the things that we've talked about in the show notes on our website, thisweekinradiotech.com. Sorry about the little technical problems we've had. Some of them, I'm sure, were my fault here, and thank you for sticking us through it. Through them with us. Coming up on a future episode, we've got a great interview coming up with a gentleman, I believe, in the Dallas area who's building a home studio, and it's a nice one. So we're going to we'll check that out in the next week or two and have that on for you. Chris, any last words you want to leave us with?
No, we're good. That's it for now. I got a few things for the next show, but not tonight.
All right, good deal. Hey, thank you for joining us. Thanks to our sponsors. Please patronize them and subscribe to our feeds on your pod device, your phone, whatever it may be. And thanks to Suncast for switching and really working hard overtime to get through some technical issues today. I appreciate that. And we'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye, everybody.